This podcast is sponsored by ebookit.com, self-publishing solutions for the independent author and small press. Visit us today at ebookit.com. Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Toastmasters podcast, the official podcast of Toastmasters International. Hello, everybody. My name is Bo Bennett.
And I'm Greg Gazin.
And welcome to the Toastmasters podcast. Greg, how you doing?
Pretty great. Looking forward to our special guest today.
I'm always looking forward to these conversations, especially today, because our guest is not just someone of importance in the organization, but also somebody I know pretty darn well. I've been communicating with him over the years of my Toastmastering, and it's always good to see this gentleman at the different conferences and the different Toastmastering events. His name is Jim Kakachi, DTM. He's an entrepreneur and business consultant residing in St. John, New Brunswick, Canada. Your neck of the woods. Well, not really. Your country, but not your neck of the woods. Pretty much
Thanks.
Almost on the other side of the world, actually. So forget I even said that. He recently completed a master's degree in business administration at the University of New Brunswick, St. John. He's been a dedicated Toastmaster for 27 years, and Jim is now our international president. Please help me welcome Jim Kakachi.
Hey, welcome, Jim.
Thank you, Bo. Thank you, Greg. It's a pleasure to be with you today.
Good to have you.
27 years as a Toastmaster. Tell us about your journey, Jim.
Well, you know, it's interesting. I joined back in 1987, and I was working at the time with a great organization called New Brunswick Telephone Company, and I was a computer programmer, a COBOL programmer. And one day, two gentlemen came to my desk, two engineers, and said, "You're a bright guy. You say nothing during meetings. Come to Toastmasters." And I did, and I joined immediately. And honestly, I didn't say anything for the first three or four meetings. It took me a while to work up my nerve, but very quickly I learned that it was a supportive environment, and I developed quite quickly. And that's how I got started. And I keep on at this because, you know, as you folks know, as your listeners know, that public speaking is a skill. You need to keep on practicing skills. So I'm still learning, and there's an ample opportunity for people within this wonderful organization.
Mm. So you are the international president. Congratulations on that one. Usually when somebody introduces somebody in politics, one of the questions is, when did you want to become congressman or senator or whatever? So I'm going to ask you, Jim, when did you know you wanted to become the international president of Toastmasters International?
Yeah, that's an interesting question, Bo. I guess for me, it was probably around, I was elected in 2012. So I'd say around 2009, 2010. And, personally for me, I have always been a Toastmaster, and I will always be a Toastmaster. But I always look for what's the next best developmental opportunity. So I served as district governor way back in 1999. And after that, I decided the best stretch of my skills was to get more involved with my Chamber of Commerce Board of Trade. And I did that. So it took me a couple of years before I ran for the board. I served on a board from 2002 to 2004. And once again, I looked at my next best developmental opportunity, and I put some more energy into that board of trade work. So it took me a while to step into running for this position, these positions, because I've always been searching for the next best developmental opportunity. And I hope our members do that for their own personal growth as well.
So there was no one moment when it just hit you. You woke up in the middle of the night and said, "Yes, I want to be the international president." Or was it just kind of like a gradual, this is probably the next best step?
It was gradual, and I helped in some campaigns for second vice president, and that got me more engaged in the process. And running for these offices is a process. So I enjoyed that and decided to step forward and throw my hat in the ring. And there's no guarantees that you'll win an election, but I was pleased to be given the opportunity to serve this tremendous organization.
All right.
As you said, it could be a lot of work, and I'm sure being in the background while you were running and while you were seeing other people running, I'm sure you can it can keep you busy sometimes 24/7. What keeps you motivated to keep moving forward?
You know what? It's an interesting question as well, because I don't feel it's 24/7, and it worries me when people are spending too much time at this. You know, one of the opportunities we've got as we pursue these opportunities is learning how to manage time and to delegate and engage other folks. So I've never really felt that it's 24/7. And even in this role, in this serving as president, it's a busy volunteer role, but I've got time for other other activities. And it's important people understand that this is not a full-time job. It can't be a full-time job because we need volunteers to step forward. But what keeps me motivated is, you know, it's just so wonderful to connect with members and to visit district conferences and hear about their personal successes. We'll be writing about some of those in some Toastmaster, in some of the Toastmaster magazine coming up before too long. But, you know, just to hear about how people have developed personally and they've taken the skills they've developed in our organization and used them externally. I was very motivated to meet a young lady down in Washington, D.C. who decided to take her Toastmaster skills and run a speech craft within the organization. She does some volunteer work, and they do work with homeless women. And it was absolutely inspirational for me to hear how she's using Toastmasters to help some women in that situation talk about, you know, how they ended up in a bad spot and to turn their lives around. So that's what keeps me motivated.
Wow. Well, Jim, that kind of relates to some of the stuff that you do. I read your extended bio. I didn't want to read it introducing you because I really wanted you to get a chance to talk about some of this stuff. You do a lot of stuff with charities and volunteer organizations. But in general, what do you do when you're not Toastmastering?
Oh, in general, you know, I like to keep busy physically. I like to ski in the winter. I love to cycle. That's great exercise. And it's interesting. I'll jump on my bike and get some exercise. And in 15 minutes, I'm whistling. And I don't know where that comes from. But it's just it's the physical satisfaction and the endorphins kicking in. So I like to do that. I also do some volunteer work currently with a group called L'Arche. L'Arche is an organization in about 35 countries around the world that provides a respectful living arrangement for people with mental disabilities. So it's a way to celebrate their gifts and have a meaningful life for some folks who are often marginalized.
Oh, I was actually listening. I actually couldn't quite catch the name of that organization.
Yeah, just... it's a French name. It's called L'Arche. So it's L'ARCH. And it's a French word that means the ark. So it's a long history there. I encourage people to just check it out. And it's a wonderful organization that is very respectful for people who don't have some of the same opportunities you and I would have.
Hey, Jim, do you want to tell us a little bit about your professional career, what you do?
Sure. So, you know, I got involved with a wonderful organization back when I was very young in the Bell Aligned NBTEL. So I spent about 10 years in IT and then the remainder years in sales and marketing. I spent 30 years with them and retired a few years ago from those folks. I then went back and completed an MBA because I didn't want to jump immediately into the workforce. So now I'm doing some consulting work, some marketing work. I'm doing some work, some business development work with a gentleman who runs an engineering business. So I'm helping him explore some new growth opportunities for the next couple of years. And eventually I want to get back in the IT field and the startup field. I have many friends who've been involved in starting things from nothing, and they have a lot of fun and success, and I've certainly got some frustrations. But that's where I think I'd like to spend a significant amount of my time in future years is building businesses in the IT field.
Huh. Well, it seems like what you're doing with Toastmasters and what you're doing as a consultant works well together because either one have certain set hours, right?
Yes, indeed.
Yeah. You need that kind of flexibility.
Yes.
I'm curious a little more about your MBA. You got it late in life. I was kind of wondering why so late in life. And with all the experience that you had, you still felt that you needed more education?
I did, Greg. And, you know, there were a couple of reasons why I pursued it. One, because I wanted to reflect before I jumped into a new job. I didn't want to start something that I might regret. And it's always important to upgrade the skills. So, you know, I learned some new techniques around tools like the business model canvas that's very much in vogue with the startup field. And it's a great way to represent business opportunities and a business plan on one sheet of paper. So I actually attended a session that was run by one of the founders, Alex Osterwalder, down in Boston, to just get versed in that. So it's a wonderful way to think about new opportunities, whether they're in Toastmasters or other not-for-profit organizations or in for-profit ventures. So I think it's important to continue to find ways to upgrade our skills.
Jim, now that you're the president, what big plans do you have? And maybe what are some of the visits you've got coming up?
Sure. So the the organization is I like to describe to especially the new people coming on board You know, this is a big ship in motion, and big ships don't turn very quickly. We're responsive to the member needs and the organization direction. So we've got a plan to guide us, and we've just launched a new strategic plan. And I'm very proud of the simplicity and power of it. And I hope every member can see themselves in it, because the three components are club excellence, member achievement, awareness, engagement, and participation. So that's a keen focus on every member's development, on my development, on your development, to do all we can to ensure that our clubs are proud of their successes, but not complacent where they're at. And members continue to see opportunity to develop and grow. So it's my job this year to continue to steer us on that direction, guided by a strategic plan to make sure we're well focused on member achievement and club excellence. You know, I've had some great visits. I've already been this year to Southern Africa. District 74 comprises 9 countries in Southern Africa. So I spent one day in Zimbabwe, and I spent, I think it was 6 days in South Africa, the country of South Africa. Shortly, I'm off to Toronto and then to District 95 in Prague, so District 60, then District 95. In the spring, I've visited our provisional district in Thailand and in Laos and Vietnam. I'll be spending some time in Osaka, Japan, in the district. Forget the district number, that's terrible. And I'll be spending some time in Southern Australia as well, in District 73. So some wonderful visits, connecting with Toastmasters all over the world, and visiting with organizations, with corporations who've brought Toastmasters in as part of their communication leadership training or considering doing so.
I didn't hear Boston in there, Jim. What's going on?
Actually, Muhammad's coming to Boston. I would have loved to get that down to District 31, but timing did not work out this year.
Oh, okay. We're not good enough for you. Is that what you're saying?
No, not at all. I'd be delighted to come back soon.
Well, where's the international conference next year? I could probably look this up, but I mind you probably know.
I certainly do. So we're delighted to be in Washington, D.C. this coming August, where we've got many, many Toastmasters, and we're going to be chaired by Paul White, so that'll be a wonderful event. The following year, we're off to Vancouver, British Columbia, closer to Greg's part of the world. Very delighted to be in those two cities coming up soon.
Yeah. Actually, I remember conferences in both those areas, and both of them were just wonderful. I mean, for different reasons. D.C. is an amazing city with a lot of culture and so forth, but B.C. is just beautiful.
It is, isn't it?
Gorgeous.
It is a beautiful city, Vancouver.
Yeah. I know you don't have an official theme, Jim. They did away with that a while ago, but if you were to have a theme, what would it be? Have you given any thought to that?
Well, I certainly have, and I hope you people see that as they read the Viewpoint magazines and they see, you know, my behavior on social media. You know, I'm a marketer at heart, and the marketing model, the sales model says if people aren't aware you exist, they don't buy your product. Mm. If they're aware you exist but they don't have knowledge of what you do, they still don't buy your product. So my theme, if you will, is to drive more awareness and knowledge of what Toastmasters is. In the first Viewpoint article I wrote about, you know, I just got people thinking about what questions did they have before they joined Toastmasters. And the common questions are, look, are the people my age? Is it men and women? How do they dress? How does the meeting go on? And we've got such readily available tools today to just send images of what Toastmasters really looks like. Some meetings are highly formal, and some are more relaxed, and they're all great clubs. Everyone thinks they belong to the best club in the world, and that's fabulous because people work our supportive program and they develop their speaking and leadership skills in Toastmasters clubs all around the world, 15,500 as we speak today.
Wow.
So my team is to make to drive awareness and knowledge so more people know what we're about, and they can make an informed decision as to whether they want to join Toastmasters at this point or not.
And do you plan on doing that from sort of an institutional level, or are you trying to empower the members to really get that message out, or both?
Well, it's actually both. So I'm encouraging that behavior. You know, personally, if I happen to be on Facebook and I see a photo of a club meeting, I'm giving it a like, and I want people to share more images because that will promote the organization and promote their club.
Thanks for friending me on Facebook. I did read the Viewpoint. I wanted to ask you about one of your statements, if you could maybe just elaborate on it. You mentioned that the brilliance of the Toastmasters leadership program is that we tuck personal development into real work. So for the benefit, for especially for the newer members or prospective members, what did you mean by that?
Sure. So sometimes in big organizations, people have personal development for personal development's sake. And I've heard people say over the years, look, it's been a while since I've been on a course. So that's one end of the dimension. The other end of the dimension is sometimes important work just needs to get done, and you throw your best people at it in an organization, and people just go hard and get the work done, and it's a little personal development. But the best personal development comes when somebody's given a stretch assignment, and it's an important project for the organization, because then the organization's got massive support for the project. They'll provide resources and coaching and mentoring. So when somebody's given an opportunity externally to Toastmasters, and it's an important project for an organization, it's a stretch assignment for them, that's when they're going to achieve significant personal growth. Now, we do that within Toastmasters. Sometimes I talk to people and they're not strong on the DCP. They don't understand why the DCP goals are important. But for those who accept, that reaching 5 or 7 or 9 of the goals or 10 of the goals is an important organizational goal and important for the club development, and they've got a stretch assignment within the club that year, then they're going to achieve significant personal growth. So when people realize that they've got ample opportunity to develop personally, and we do have real targets within Toastmasters, whether you're serving at the club, area, division, district, or international level, people are really seeing that they've got ample opportunity to stretch their skills.
How can the members be part of that if they're not, let's say, on the current executive of their club?
Thank you for that. I think it's important for the club officers to be talking about what the goals are, what the relevance is, and for the members to see opportunities to participate. And ultimately, they may serve as a club officer, but they can still contribute without being a club officer. You've probably seen, as I've seen, somebody have a fire lit when they realize, achieving a CC award is important to the club, and if they apply some more effort during the current year, they can help do that this year and get the personal benefit and help the organization's goals, the club's goals. Additionally, I've seen situations where someone's explained the DCP to some club members, and I've heard one club member say, look, I didn't really realize we were actively recruiting members. I thought we were just comfortable where we're at. So by communicating the goals, talking about why it's important to club success and how a member can make a contribution, any member can see an opportunity to participate.
Makes sense.
All right. Well, Jim, it's been wonderful speaking with you, as usual. And congratulations one more time on your international president title and the duties and the adventure that you're about to embark on, or that you have already embarked on. You are official for how long now? About a month? 2 months?
Since August, so a month and a half, I suppose.
A month and a half, all right.
But the work started a long time ago.
It indeed did.
Yeah.
It will continue.
That's for sure. All right, Jim. So any final message you'd like to say to the Toastmasters?
Well, I'd like to thank both of you for what you're doing. It's a wonderful service you provide to the organization. And I hope every member continues to see opportunity to develop personally, professionally within this great organization in the exercise and the opportunities available to them.
All right. Wonderful. And thank you, Jim.
Thank you, gentlemen.
Thanks for being on the show.
Isn't it about time you published that book you've been thinking about? We can help with that. At ebookit.com, we've been providing authors and small presses with ebook publishing services since 2010. Visit us today at ebookit.com and let us know how we can help you.